Mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's the mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's the podcast, it's the mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's the podcast, it's the mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's the podcast, it's the mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's the podcast, it's the mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast.
All right, welcome to the Mountain West Connection radio show, podcast extravaganza, not a 100-minute recap show. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. And if you're still laughing, I'll say it again, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection, all the fun stuff. Joined today, well, that was a new theme song by our good friend at Chris Andres. I'm Jeremy Moss here, not with Chris, hanging with Parker Robertson. How you doing, man?
What's up? Excited to be here. Nothing like trying to steal Chris's job.
Of course. Excellent. That's what you should. Yeah, we'll see what he has to say about this. So last minute, he had. It's true, he can't say anything about it. He's flying back from Las Vegas to San Diego. I was too busy Sunday to record a show because I was finishing watching Star Wars with my kids in episode 3, which people say it sucks, but I thought it was pretty good, the third one.
I think it's fine. People get really into that, though, so be careful.
I've never seen them before. Let me rephrase that. I've seen the first 3, and we will get to football in a few minutes here, folks. We're starting off topic, so don't worry. Tune in, just listen. But I've never seen the original 3 until this past month.
See, my wife's a big Star Wars fan, and I've seen them all now. But yeah, no, the original 3 by far her favorite.
They're good. I saw the other 3 because I think they came out right by tail end of high school. 99 or 2000, I think, was the episode 1, which was pretty crappy. But the other 2 were pretty good. And we used to watch it because my wife, she's reasonably a big fan. I'm like, I know it's a big deal, but I've never really cared to see it. But I pretty much know who everybody is in the gist of the story and parts of it, so it's pretty cool. But the third one, seeing that, the last scene's pretty cool when he's on the higher ground and falling into the lava. That's pretty cool. But yeah, getting excited for episode 7 coming up.
Oh yeah, some people are gonna hate that no matter what. I think it's gonna be hilarious.
I think what's pretty cool about it, and again, football's coming shortly, is, well, they're making the movie about how they stole the Death Star plans, which you never see in episode 4 at all.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And so I think they're also doing a Boba Fett movie. And I finally put it together that the clones were, the kid was Boba Fett. And it's like, oh, we're seeing Jango Fett. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, name's familiar. And then the little boy, my wife's like, hey, you know who that is, to my 7-year-old. And he says, freaks out because Boba Fett is a kid. I'm like, oh, I didn't pick up that the first time because I really knew nothing about it when I saw them in high school a while back. So let's get to football. We'll move on from that first 2 minutes or so. Here's what we got. I can promise you guys this. This will not be 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Not that long. I have a lot. Well, it's the first week and everything's at a conference. You know, everyone played different opponents, but they also played a lot of really weak opponents. But there's a few good games we can talk about.
8 FCS games. So we're going to blast through these really quick. You were at Utah State, Southern Utah. So for those who couldn't wipe away the Vaseline over that camera to watch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't see it. I was there, so I didn't see the feed, but I heard it was horrible.
You just couldn't zoom in at all. It was showing the whole field and a little bit of stands. It was just, besides not being clarity-wise, you couldn't see what was going on because it was so far away. There was no zoom access. Not even if they just zoomed and moved the camera side to side a little bit, or zoom in, say, 30 yards at a time, it would have been good. But this was just the hole. It was goalpost to goalpost. So 120 yards long.
There was only one play you wanted to see in that game, and that was that punt return for the touchdown by Andrew Rodriguez towards the end there, which won Utah State the game, which is surprising because you would have thought they would have won by a lot.
So what the deal with that game, again, we're not going to take too much time into this game, but Lawan Hunt looked pretty good, reasonably good running the ball, I thought. Devontae Mays had a few good runs as well, 51 yards on 4 carries. But half the receiving core was down. It's like,
yes, they lost. Yeah, no, they lost a lot early. I mean, I think a lot of things went into this game, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Defense was excellent outside of, like, 3 plays. There's 2 pass interference penalties, which led to a field goal, and a DB misplayed a ball, which led to their long touchdown. If you take away that mistake, the 27-yard touchdown, they held SUU to 2.1 yards of play, which is crazy impressive. And then offensively, without getting too much into it, bad offensive line play. The play calling was pretty sketchy. Their average distance to go on third down was 12 yards, so they averaged third and 12, which is so bad. And they had, you mentioned the wide receivers going down, and the penalties. I believe they had 11 penalties for 123 yards. So a lot of that stuff can get cleaned up, and I don't think Utah State fans should freak out, but it was an ugly, ugly game.
So since you're there to see Chucky Keaton, it's hard to tell, what was the play calling? Were there any designed runs, rollouts, or was it just drop back and throw and hand the ball off?
They had a couple rollouts, and it looked like they had a couple read options, but he never pulled it and ran. What I noticed about Chucky is he is not as explosive as he was, say, in 2012, but he's incredibly elusive. He was running for his life all night and only took one sack. But he's really elusive. Some people are freaking out, but he looked really elusive to me. Definitely doesn't have that explosive speed, but enough to, you know, extend plays in the pocket and still make big plays.
How did he look throwing the ball? Because it was his plant foot that was injured with the torn ACL, the re-injury it last year to a less extent. Was that any indication? Because he wore no brace, right, first of all?
He wore the knee sleeve, no brace. You know, I think he looked good. It's hard to, you know, looking at his stats, they look really bad. I think he was 16 for 33, which is bad. He had an interception, which was off a tip ball. I counted about 7 or 8 drops. It was hard to kind of keep track of what is actually dropped. And then he overthrew some long ball. But other than that, when he got in a rhythm, he was pretty crisp. But again, anytime he hit a pass or two, you know, they'd call, they'd get a first down, and they'd call a Hail Mary of sorts. He'd overthrow the receiver, and then they get into a 3rd and 9, and he's running for his life because the defense line is able to pin their ears back and come after him.
Okay. Yeah, it's they play Utah next week, and we'll talk about in our preview, but a lot of things have to change, and assuming those receivers come back, the line gets better. But one last thing, do you think this is just them playing Southern Utah not caring? But again, it is their home opener.
It's their home opener. So I think they came in with a very vanilla game plan and were completely overlooking Southern Utah. And then the loss of the receivers at the beginning of the game, I believe they lost 3 receivers in the first half or right before the first half. And I just think they couldn't get out of the funk, and they couldn't spice up the offense because they were playing with third string guys at a wide receiver, and I believe Mays got hurt because Mays did. I think Mays had 4 runs for 57 yards or 59 yards in the first half. I mean, Mays, the run game was pretty good for Utah State, but yeah, no, things are definitely going to have to change for Utah. I don't know if they can change enough for them to beat them.
We'll see. Yeah, the running game looked pretty good, but they play Utah next week. Let's get to the next game. Let's go in. I'm going in order here from ESPN, so hopefully you're on track with me. UC Davis. And Nevada played. Nevada won pretty easy, 31-17. Don Jackson, this was a game I think was not streamed. Again, a lot of these games I probably didn't see because either weren't streaming, weren't on the air, and I don't want to spend my weekend watching FCS games more than the clips here and there. So, sorry, folks, if that's your team. But, Don Jackson averaged almost 10 yards a carry, two touchdowns, 124 yards. They're playing a bad UC Davis team. Tyler Stewart, he looked okay, 13 of 20, 163, no turnovers, which is a big deal, but he did also hit 200 total yards, ran for 43, another score. So that's what they need from, like, with the pistol, because they're still running Chris Alt's system. James Beller had 65. they average almost 6 yards a carry running the ball, and that's what they need. And they need that a quarterback who can run, Stewart, reasonably enough. Butler can be that second guy to get 50 to 75 yards on the ground, and then they're let Jackson get 100 plus.
One thing I mean, just looking at the stats here, and I didn't see it, maybe it's all garbage time, but they seem to, I mean, UC Davis passed the ball a lot, and over 32 for 47. Not a lot of yards, though. I mean, it's hard to take anything away from these SCS games, but you got to like the way Jackson ran the ball.
You know, yeah, 14 fourth quarter points. I'm assuming Nevada had the backups in there, and they're up 24 to 3 going into the fourth quarter. This is just get some extra playing time, and Ben Scott did pretty good. Because 32 of 47, his percentage is good. Probably like that a bit less, but you won going away, made your field goal, made all extra points. It's fine. Let's move on. No interceptions, neither side. It'd be nice to see a defense do something, but again, their backups probably gave up those points. So good victory, and I like being Tyler Stewart's first start. They didn't need to throw as much, and the most impressive thing I could see is what I saw, the rushing attack was how it should be. Yeah, that you have Jackson running majority and then Butler getting half that, and then Tyler Stewart should be close to that second running back. The three, to run the pistol effective, you have three guys running the ball, and that's what they did. So let's move on to, San Jose State. 40.
I know.
I apologize for no recap. We'll get that stuff taken care of.
Bulls over New Hampshire, 43-13.
What?
Irvin, three touchdowns. Joe Gray, 16 for 20, 250 yards and touchdown. No, they look, offensively, they seem to really be clicking against the New Hampshire team that is one of the better FCS teams, I believe.
I think they're ranked seventh. They were seventh in the preseason poll, so who knows where they'll be after this game. But what I wanted to say, like looking at play-by-play, they scored all four of their touchdowns. Or not all four, excuse me. Four of their touchdowns were red zone touchdowns. Because if you've heard me and Chris talk about this before, we suggested stopping at the 25 and trying to score from there touchdowns. But they had a 2-yard touchdown run, a 13-yard TD run to Thomas Tucker.
A 1-yard touchdown run.
And another 1-yard touchdown run by Thomas Tucker. And so they went 4-for-4 in red zone touchdowns, which is huge because this is like 2 years in the making. And then the rush defense, 4.5 is whatever. It's 4.8 is not what you want. But again, only 126 yards. They played as well as they thought. Now, the quarterback situation, I haven't read up because it's hard to find good San Jose State news, and we're trying to provide that. But Kenny Potter came in reserve 13 of 14 for 167.
Well, and that's, again, you know, bringing in the second strings. But this is, I think if you're San Jose State, you got to be a little bit optimistic here. It looks like two quarterbacks performed well. Again, this is the FCS team, but if you have quarterbacks performing well, you know, Tyler Irvin had 20 carries for 127 yards. Thomas Tucker had 19 carries. I mean, you have some solid offensive players. It will be interesting to see how they match up next week against Air Force.
Because that's what we've said, like, me and Chris, like, we could see as low as 2 wins or maybe 7 or 8 for the Spartans because their offense, like, Tyler Irvin and Tyler Winston are probably one of the best two combos in the conference, running back, wide receiver wise. And if they're on, and what me and Kurt, like if their defense is just okay, and but especially the rush defense, because the other secondary is going to be fine. As you can tell, they give up 60 passing yards. Rush defense and red zone offense were just crushing them. That was how they were so terrible and so bad last year. And if they can get that together, which, you know, again, FCS, there's some hope, and we'll see when they play Air Force next week.
Well, I guess a little down note to notice is that New Hampshire ran the ball 26 times for 126 yards, almost 5 yards a carry. I think if that offense can just pace them and keep them out in front and maybe jump ahead of a couple teams, force them to become one-dimensional, San Jose might have some good games.
They might. All right, next game. Fresno beat Abilene Christian. Good job, 34-13. Consistent effort across the board. He scored every quarter. They did play two quarterbacks as expected, and Zach Greenlee did not look all that great. 14 of 32. 3 touchdowns, but
that is a lot of incompletions. I mean, you hope there's some drops next to next. That's not good. That's under 50%. Just under 50.
And Chase and Virgil, 8 of 13. TD, both had an interception. We need to mention Marquise Waller because we don't mention him enough, apparently. 154, no touchdown, 7 yards of carry. This was just Yeah, he's right there with Donnell Pumphrey, pretty close. Not quite, but he could be there.
You don't think of Fresno State as like a big rushing team.
Nope.
When you have Air Force is a big rushing team, New Mexico is a big rushing team, and you have San Diego State who has Donnell Pumphrey, I think Waller sometimes just slips out of the conversation, but he's a good running back.
Well, and last year they had Josh Quezada as well, and they kind of played. It was really not like one and two, but Quezada had enough carries to take away from what Waller could do. So he might have gone for, say, 15 for a 90 and averaged 6-plus a carry, but 15 and 90 is like, eh, okay, whatever. But 22-154, he's the guy. And Dustin Garrison did enough to a little bit here and there. Even if you take away as long as 38, he still would have been 21 for like 120. So that's still impressive.
That's solid running.
Yeah, quarterback, quinterback, I don't know what's going to happen. They play two guys.
Yeah, I think State, I mean, maybe you just – neither one had a super high. Maybe you put in Virgil and just run the ball? I don't know. Both had a turnover. It's hard to kind of – that's definitely not what you want to see from either one coming out of the FCS game against a team that is not good.
No, new FCS. They were Division II, I think, last year. And as for wide receiver, we know that Aaron Peck has gone for the year, so we don't know who the main guy is. Kane Williams had 7 receptions. Couple guys had 4, Keyshawn Johnson and Josiah Blandin. So it's like, we'll see who steps up, but they won. Good for them. 1-0. That's all we're going to say. FCS magic. Hawaii, Colorado. And if you stayed up late, if you're on the East Coast, it ended at 4:58 a.m. So congratulations if you stayed up to watch that whole game. I watched 0 of it, probably because I didn't upgrade CBS Sports Network before the game. I forgot. And it was 11 p.m. kick local, and I didn't want to deal with that working the next morning. So you can call me lazy or undedicated, but I'm fine with that.
I got home from Logan about 2 a.m., and as we were getting into bed. So we watched the last quarter, or just a little bit more than that. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun game.
So it's 28-20. Yeah, so the ending, the Mountain West came out. And for those who don't know, there's about – Colorado got to what the 6-yard line, about 14 seconds left, I believe it was. The clock's running is inbounds, no timeouts because they wasted some earlier in the third quarter, 2 of them, I believe. And they tossed the ball to the ref, it bounced off the guy, time ran out. There would have been plenty of time for them to get a playoff, or the ball was tossed, a Hawaii player running to hustle on defense, a lineman hit him in the back, ref couldn't get the ball, game ended. I don't know if they should have put a second on before. You've played football, should they have put at least give him one chance?
Yeah, I think, when you look at that situation, it looks like there's definitely enough time to spike the ball and get one more playoff. But it's hard to, do that, then you have Hawaii fans freaking out. They could have just got it right, which is hard to say, just because it was kind of a funny situation. But I think, Hawaii won that game. I think they played really well enough to deserve to win, but it's a strange ending to a good game.
Because I think there's like 6 seconds to hit the Hawaii player. But here's the thing, too. Colorado fans are upset. First off, 5th down forever. I don't care. And then also, you weren't guaranteed anything. You needed a touchdown and a 2-point conversion just to force overtime.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where I like lean towards giving it, let what happened happen. But it was a funny ending.
Here's what we got. Hawaii started up 8-0. Norm Chow goes for the 2. But Don Bailey, he's showing reasonably well in his first time as OC from Idaho State. Wittick, whatever. He had 2 picks, not what you want to see. Only 50%, just over 200 yards. But Marcus Kemp, they had that deep 79-yard touchdown pass, I believe it was?
Yes, 79-yard.
Yeah. He had 6 for 115, but he was there. He had a Quentin Pedroza, we know is going to be reasonably good receiving the ball. They didn't settle for field goals, which is a good thing because that happened a lot, especially in this game last year. There was no big play given up by Hawaii at all. Their biggest rushing play was 25, biggest passing play 26. And for all the hype Sefo Liafua was getting as quarterback, he didn't show me anything in this game. He's over 50%, barely, but only threw for 150, averaged 4 yards. I'm assuming that's 4 yards.
A lot of short passes.
Yeah, is that
a lot of short passes?
He was. That's 4 yards per completion, it looks like. I don't know how this is. 23-40 for
4 yards. Yeah, 4 yards per completion. Or per, no, per attempt. 40 attempts, right?
No, he only 158 yards. Should I get up my calculator? Oh, that's attempt. No, because 4 times 4. No, because, 4 times 4.
4 times 23 3 would be like 92.
You're right. 4 times 40 is 160. So yeah, I wasn't sure how ESPN had it listed. So that's what I'm going off of now. It's still not good. Four yards and a
I'm good at math for everyone that is listening. I really am.
We'll take your word on it. They won. They need 7 wins for a bowl game, but they still have to play on the road. They Ohio State, Wisconsin, and I don't recall where Boise is, but they play Boise in the next 3 games. So they'll probably be 1-3 coming to October 1st. But this was the win they needed. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Colorado's it was the bottom of the Pac-12, and they get them at home. But this is, if I remember last year correctly, they were really close to them. And Colorado's not a good team, but for Hawaii to start off the season beating, you know, a Power 5 team, a Pac-12 team, kind of showing that defensively they're going to be able to hang in there with teams. I mean, maybe not Ohio State or Boise State or Wisconsin, but I think Hawaii, you know, maybe they can get to the bowl game this year. I liked what I saw at Hawaii when I watched that.
Yeah.
Early in the morning.
Yeah, their schedule's super quick. They go to Ohio State. They play host UC Davis, but at Wisconsin, at Boise, host San Diego, host New Mexico. Their schedule is brutal. They're going to need to win like the tail end versus Monroe, San Jose State, both at home, maybe upset Nevada or UNLV. It'll be interesting, but they need 7 wins. So they got to win. Great for Norm Chow, great for them. So crazy ending, but they got to win. So that's all that matters. They're 1-0, and they are 1-0 and perfect. And Max Whittick, we'll see what he does. He looked okay, but again, Colorado's terrible. We'll see when they play Ohio State next week, and that could be crazy. That could be troubling. Next game, Boise, Washington, number 23 Boise, beat 16-13. I don't know what to make of this game. They're up 16-0 at the half. They were in control because Washington couldn't do much of anything on offensively, and they couldn't really the whole game because they rushed for 29 yards and 150 passing, but still, Boise, Washington missed a field goal at the end to tie the game.
I don't know what we can make about this. It's Boise's rush defense is still very dominant. Washington rushed for 29 yards on 22 attempts. They were just barely over a yard of carry. I watched this game in its entirety. I was excited to kind of see, you know, because they played both these games, so I was really kind of digging into it. I don't think there's a lot you can take away. I think Boise got not necessarily complacent, but definitely too conservative right after the half. Before the half, in the first half, Jerry McNichols really kind of was all over the field and kind of doing what he wanted. Not quite as good as JHI, but he looked really solid. I think Boise State's defensive line only had 2 sacks, and they didn't start getting them until late when they needed them, so.
Yeah, they're getting Washington just stalled out. Like, I mean, Nichols, he's the guy. He's more of a, because he caught a couple out of a backfield. He ran the ball. Kelsey Young did enough. They need him to get 100 plus total yards, which he did either running or passing. But they need like Shane Williams Rhodes to get involved more because he's similar to McNichols, but he's the speed guy. Get him the bubble screen. Get him in a jet sweep. He did that before. Yeah, and Chaz Anderson too thought he'd get a bit more, but second half is like, okay, we're winning by 16, we're doing fine, and then just Washington slowly kind of chipped away and got back
Washington in. Wasn't doing anything offensively until they didn't have an offensive touchdown in this game. They had the punt return.
That's right, punt return.
And they had, I think they got a field goal off of a turnover. They had a drive stall. They kicked a field goal.
Well, that last field goal they made was a 28-yarder. So that was like right on the doorstep. They couldn't put it in.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think they just skipped away, and Boise State had a hard time getting it back going, but their defense locked them down when they needed to.
We'll get next week's game, but when they play BYU next week, here's the thing. BYU has 0 rushing game. 0.
Yeah.
So
Matt Williams lost first slam.
Yeah, I will be at that game for at least most of it. Like other obligations, but I'll be there for most of it, so I'll see what's going on in that game live. But that will be, I don't know what to make. They got a new freshman QB, looks pretty good after one game, but I don't know. We'll talk about it later, but I just seen them losing a couple defensive players. Their nose tackle, who's huge deal in Nebraska, is out for a month. I think Boise's going to win and probably easily at home, but we'll see.
Did they lose a linebacker too to a broken hand, BYU?
I'm not sure. I got to look into more. I know Travis Tulioma, nose tackles out. There was
knee. I think just to quit, Boise State has to stop Mitch Matthews. I mean, that was a great throw on BYU's last game, but Matthews, man, what an incredible position he got on that ball.
Let's see. Dante Dion should be all over him. He got the height, but we'll see. Like, another quick thing. Nick Kurtz, he should be really good. Didn't do too much. Taren Houck's pretty good, but Nick Kurtz, they're like, oh, this great guy. He broke his foot last year, got offers from USC to GC. Didn't. It's one game, so they got plenty of wide receiver talent, but this Boise defense, I think they'll get to him, and we'll see what happens. But that's next week. We're not talking about next week. We don't want this to be super long for the show. So it is one of the interesting games we got to talk about. So there's a few other things. What we got going on next game. Oh, crap. I stopped my schedule. What's next? The Saturday games.
Saturday games. Next is Air Force, Morgan State. Air Force kind of dominated this game.
You know it doesn't help. Morgan State suspending 10 players prior to kick, and one being their leading rusher at over 1,000 yards last year. That did not help.
But man, 63-7, Air Force beat them down pretty handily.
The only thing I wanted to see in this is see how well Jacoby Owens did, and he only had 9 carries for 35 yards, but that was the second most on the team. D.D. Johnson had 11. And TD and 82 yards, but they had, let's see, 1, 2, I'm counting out loud here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 players run the ball for 63 times and 394 yards.
That is a insane amount.
Yeah.
I saw the leading rusher, DJ Johnson, 11 carries, 82 yards. Man, they had almost 400-yard rushing, and the leading guy had less than 100.
This is just... And Nate Romine threw, we know we can throw the ball. His running ability is not what it is. He ran 3 for -5. So this team, clearly have plenty of guys who can run the ball. It'll be interesting how they actually do for their, because they don't run a triple option. People always say that. They run more of a run option, a read option, essentially. They'll bring the receivers around, motion a lot of guys. So I don't, they might zoom in or focus in on the running backs and try to let Romine beat them, which I don't know if he can. This one game, we don't know, but if he's a throwing guy, he's not as athletic. He's like Tim Jefferson, but can throw better from a few years ago, but it's not as athletic. And he started a couple years ago, but it'll be, I wonder if teams will focus on the running and let him run the ball and see what he can do. But,
well, I think, you know, going up against San Jose State.
There you go.
You know, both see how real the run game is and if San Jose State has anything to stop it.
And then next game, Colorado State smokes Savannah State. Again, if this is boring, we apologize. We're doing what we can with these games.
With 84 yards.
Yeah, here's what I got. Nick Stevens, he's a starting QB. He did great. 20-28, 5 TDs. Player of the Mountains Player of the Week offensively. That's what you want to see. He's a new QB. And then Cole McKee, who came off the bench, 7 of 8. So the QB plays fine. Yes, they're playing Savannah State bad, HBCU school. But come on, it's what they need to do. First game.
Opening up against that school is kind of work the kinks out. I mean, I know people say you've had fall camp forever, but there's nothing you can do to simulate a real game. I think 2028 is really good. 5 touchdowns. Seems to be fighting for receivers well. Rushing the ball, again, they were over 6 yards a carry. I mean, it's this bad Savannah State team, but that's what you should do against these bad teams.
And what, yes, it is. What's good to see Kevin Cartwright, who's back from the injury from last year, got the medical red shirt, scored a touchdown, had 3 for 56. So that's another tight end. They have 2 tight ends. Nick Stevens. What's the other tight end name? Shoot. We put him in top 50. Steven Wright, is that him, I believe?
Yes.
He did not record a reception, so I don't know where he'll be at in the list because he's probably the backup tight end, but he's a really good backup tight end, and everybody got involved. That's all you can ask. They dominated, played well. Coleman Kidd, 1 interception, but again, that's backup QB, and he was accurate.
They spread it around to 10 different receivers, with Higgins getting the most catches at 7. So.
And they're so deep at receiver. Higgins, Hansley, Cartwright, they're going to be, and Deontay Gain, they're going to be deep. Jason Odom Jr., running back, caught a pair of passes, and led the team rushing. This is going to be a team that they might take a step back, but they still might win 8 games. We'll see. No miscues against Wyoming did or something. They're playing terrible.
Yeah, speaking of Wyoming, our next game.
Oh, perfect. Of course. I didn't realize that. We'll go to it. They lose. Okay, we put an X on bowling puns. Craig Bowling. You don't get that back for a while until you're one game away.
This game is just baffling. 19-37. Kaufman went.
It wasn't bad.
Yards. No, it's not. I'm looking at this. You know, running, they could not run the ball. It looks like 19.
Which is surprising. Which is surprising because Sean Wick and Brian Hill were so good last year. And they did nothing. Like, they didn't throw an interception. I don't think they had a turnover the whole game either, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, I was just trying to find that.
ESPN changed how that's set up. Yeah, no, neither team had a turnover. Penalties, 8 for 96, but North Dakota had 6 of their own. Time possession was a big deal, 37 for North Dakota.
Dakota ran the ball 54 times for 276 yards. I think that's the difference in the game, just being able, I think they just hung onto the ball and kind of eventually wore down Wyoming's defense. And this wasn't a close game. Wyoming scored all 13 of their points in the fourth quarter.
And it doesn't help going 3 of 13 on third down either. I think they started like 0 for 10 on third downs. The one good thing, Tanner Gentry looks pretty good. 9 for 176 in TD, 92-yard touchdown reception. Even take that away, it's 8 for like 80, so it's still quite good. Their defense and rushing game need to work. Rush defense on both sides. Rush offense, rush defense need help. I don't know what the deal was. I didn't see this game. I don't think we're streaming at all, but I don't know what the deal was because they have me and Chris were touting this combo, probably the best in the conference, the 1-2 what they had. And they don't show up in this game?
At all. They didn't show up at all. Like, it's not a good game for Wyoming. It's a game that's a Mountain West conference member you should win going up against that FCS school. And
so
we're not talking about North Dakota State here. This is just North Dakota.
Yeah. And they're playing Eastern Michigan. I'm not so confident anymore. And Eastern Michigan's pretty bad.
Eastern Michigan got a win last week too, didn't they?
Yeah, let's find out. I know they've been like the worst team in the MAC. They played, let's see here.
Oh, no, they lost.
Who did they play? Old Dominion. Yeah, they lost ODU.
They kept it close with Old Dominion, 38-34.
Yeah, new FBS team as well. Come on. We'll keep... Yeah, exactly. So we can't say too much about that. That's just awful because me and Chris are talking about how they might go 0-5 in the division, still make a bowl game. It's probably not going to happen unless they upset a team in conference. So,
agreed.
No bowling puns for probably the rest of the year, maybe, if they don't get the 5 wins.
Yes.
All right. So next thing, I keep backing out on my schedule here. Was it New Mexico?
No, UNLV, Northern Illinois.
You know, I'm going to go to rant real quick. You know how. I like CBS Sports. They do a reasonably good job. But first off, there's no streaming option, which they have the capability to do.
I don't understand why there's not an option.
Of course. We know it's not free, but if you have it, log in, you get it. Like, watch ESPN, Fox Sports Go, FX Now, Disney Channel, whatever you want to do to log in to watch your TV, it should have it. Second, I know that game prior went to overtime. You can't do much about it. Can't you hold kick a little bit? Give them a little bit? Come on.
I would feel like they should have built in, like, I don't know, just like a 15-minute hold. Like, I don't know. I just feel this is a good game, too.
UNLV.
You want as many people eyeballs on this as you can get.
I'm surprised. Well, I am surprised that UNLV was ahead early on, 17-10 at the half, early 17-3. But the swing in this game came at the end of the touchdown, UNI got end of the half, and they read off 21 straight points. No, 14 straight points to tie it. And then UNLV settles for a short field goal. Then Northern Illinois gets a touchdown. That was pretty much, even though 24-20, I kind of felt the game was already over at that point in favor of NIU.
So field goals. Mm-hmm. After UNLV went up 17-3, NIU had 5 touchdowns, then UNLV had 2 field goals.
Yeah, that's...
So, I mean, if UNLV can finish off a couple of those drives, spend those, get a couple more points. But if you're an UNLV fan, you got to be excited. NIU is, one of the top, or has been in the past, one of the top G5 opponents. And so to go into Northern Illinois and, definitely stay in that game and compete with them, Blake Becker, 21 for 39, which isn't the best, but 319 yards,
boom,
touchdowns, and only one turnover.
But here's a couple of things, too. That one field goal was at the 4-yard line. Unacceptable. Got to get a touchdown there. Because here's the thing. You're up. At that point, you're up 14-3. Why not try to go for the kill? I know they scored a touchdown. Half was nearing end. They still scored a touchdown end to half. But why not go for a touchdown at the 4-yard line?
Well, you punch that in, you're up. I mean,
21 to 3.
It makes a big difference. You're up 21-3. They're stunned. Maybe they don't get that last touchdown. All of a sudden, coming out of the half, you're dominating this team, and who knows if they can bounce back.
And they could have put in, because they bounced around. I was kind of surprised. I didn't see this coming one bit. Kurt Poundick, QB, coming in to run the ball quite a bit. Had plenty of carries, more than I thought he would, or snaps. Stick him in. I don't recall the play. I should probably look it up real quick. I don't recall the play sequence leading up to that. But put him in at the 4-yard line to give him a run-to-pass combo. I know he's 1-for-1 for 10 yards, but why not? If to go for it, I would think, why not try that instead to, if you get no points, they have to go 96 yards.
Here's what happened. Penalty moves them down to the 5-yard line. Whitley runs for a yard. Decker pass incomplete. Decker pass incomplete. And a field goal. Yeah, I mean, you gotta try to pound that in.
First and goal at the 5? Come on.
Yeah. And I'm more conservative. I think you just run the ball. I think it's an offensive lineman coming from that back. Across 3 plays, if you can't get 5 yards, I kind of take the mentality that you don't deserve to win. Even if they know, I mean, I think it's just, they know it's coming, but you just got to get a couple yards every time. There's still a lot of good things to take away if you're a UNLV fan.
There is. I just felt, first down, if you're going to throw, put a QB in who has give you the option on third down. They threw to the same player twice in a row, Albert Smalls. Broken up by Albert Smalls, they throw to him twice in his direction, Jake Phillips and Andrew Price, I mean. But it's like, why not in third down? The guy ran the ball well. They know there's a threat to run either a veer or a QB keep or some sort of option. Stick a guy. Yeah, either roll out, do the naked bootleg or something, or even just a play action, essentially. You know what I mean? Play action where something where you know there's a threat to run the ball by the guy who's holding the ball. It's not going to be a pass guaranteed.
Yeah, no, they got to stick that in the end zone there. It's a big game for UNLV. I think they played better than most expected them to, but I think they could have won this game. They really did handle them in the first half, and there's a few things they could have done differently.
They have to change. Defense still needs a lot of work, and that's why they need touchdowns to the field goals. They got Penny Vale defensive back, but Drew Hare, the QB for the Huskies, 21-26. The interception is 360, and then you had Joe Bogdan, 152 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground, 7 yards a pop.
7 yards there,
Outside of him, and then the offense running the ball, Decker can run too because he did run 10 for 35. So they could have done either, but I just felt that one play again to hammer it home, I guess. Stick in the backup it's a wild card. What's he going to do? Is he going to be in just a run because that's what he's really done? I still think that probably would have been the option. Still throw it. You could have called the exact same play and threw the ball, but him just in there would change the defensive set a little bit for NIU, at least make him think for, give somebody half a second. That's like a fake in and out and you can get open. That's all you need, really. And I felt he could have been, they may not have won because again, that's only 4 points. They still lose by 8. But that could have changed them. You and I may not have got a touchdown, but who knows?
You and I could have gotten really conservative after that instead of, there's still a lot of it.
But Devontae Boyd did his thing, 5 for 107. Kendall Key showed up, 6 receptions. They have offense moved well, and Decker a little more. I still want to see a little more accuracy from him, but NIU, they're not as good as what people thought preseason. I think they were second or third in their own division. But they have historically been a good team. And I believe they've 3 coaches the past decade, and they're 91% at home or something. And UNLV almost knocked them off, who's one of the worst teams in the past decade, if not longer, in FBS.
Oh, absolutely.
So, good.
UNLV's looking up under the Sanchez.
We'll see, yeah. It's going extremely well because this was a 21-point line. This was supposed to be, and it started at 16, and Brett rose 5 points immediately. So next, I keep backing out of my schedule here. San Diego State, San Diego. There's nothing to talk about this game. Aztecs have 5 interceptions. Calvin Munson, pair of pick sixes. The only reason people were at this game, if you watch, was because of the fireworks show afterwards. Quarterbacks looked awful.
9 for 21.
Yeah.
It was not that good.
And an interception. Don't forget that pick.
QB rating of 12.8.
It was
3, 20 for 65 yards.
I don't
think there's a lot you can take away.
defense played great. Five picks. Like I said, they had three non-offensive touchdowns. Rashard Penny, the 97-yard kick return, and then, like I said, Kelvin Munson had a pair of pick sixes.
Yeah.
And there might even be more. I'm not even looking. I'm just going off of what I saw. I hate how ESPN changed. They want the clicks. They make you click on different things to get different stats. I've probably given them 50 clicks in the past hour.
San Diego State defense is good. Offensively, you got to worry about struggling against a San Diego team.
Yeah, they scored no offensive touchdowns either. Three field goals. So that's not – well, no, excuse me. Pumphrey had one. But three – that's, they got to score more touchdowns. They should have crushed them, but who cares? They beat San. This is, again, non-scholarship San Diego, FCS, non-scholarship. Coach Rady said, we want that football just to provide kids to have fun in college, essentially, is what he said after the game or something. Whatever. They won big. Now, New Mexico, and again, Mississippi Valley State, Delta Devils, their official name, they're probably one of the worst FCS schools. And
their top passer was 5-7 for 38 yards.
It was.
Did they even have a ball on offense in this game?
Who? New Mexico or the Sun?
Okay. They had another quarterback who went 1-9.
Actually, they had more time of possession than New Mexico did. 32-33, essentially 33-27.
Well, they did. I mean, when you run the ball 40 times for 26 yards.
I don't.
6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Joe ran the ball 53 times for 360 yards, nearly 7 yards a carry.
Eight.
Out of New Mexico.
Eight rushing touchdowns.
Oh my God. Wow, I did not keep going on that stat line.
You had to scroll down one more time to see the eight. And this was also that Taj Gibson didn't play either.
Yes. If you're in New Mexico, so you want Lamar Jordan with 7-7. You know, not a lot of yards, 103 and no touchdowns.
No, whoa. For New Mexico, that's amazing. 103. Right. I'm just saying, like, me and Chris stayed for like 3 years because Cole Gauchy's on the team, but he's not going to see the field anymore. He could run the offense like no other, but passing the ball, he couldn't even pretend to throw. And we always said, if you have a guy who can pretend or act like or whatever, can make an attempt to look like he's an actual FBS quarterback, this team can be dangerous. And we're not joking. Like, after we talked about New Mexico, mid-July? And then you see the previews come out. Oh, look out for Jarrell Presley, dark horse. New Mexico might make a big jump. Like, well, yeah. They didn't have Taj Gibson in this game, which is fine. But I don't know who Darryl Chestnut is, but 108 yards, two touchdowns. He's a
4-yard touchdown, looks like.
Yeah, but still 5-45. That's still 9 a carry, essentially. Lamar Jordan ran well enough. All these guys like Richard McCorley. I don't know who these guys are on this team. All these running backs. I'm being honest.
Yeah, if you're New Mexico, it's exactly what you want to see coming out against, Mississippi Valley State. Delta Devils, I didn't realize that was cool. They ran the ball at will, and they were able to get a lot of guys in there for action. According to ESPN, one guy had 7 yards on 0 carries. So.
Wait, do you know who Carlos Wiggins is, though?
I do not.
You should be familiar. He won Special Teams Player of the Year last year, I believe. He's a guy, he touched the ball a bunch of times. He's a guy I kept telling, New Mexico needs to, if you recall, do you remember who Chad Hall was of Air Force about 5 or 6 years ago? He made the NFL the Eagles after a service. He would whatever Air Force ran, he would be receiving. He's technically, I think, a Z-back, which is he'd be wide receiver. He would be the jet sweep guy. He would be the third running back with the hand down in motion. He would catch the swing pass. He would catch the wide receiver screen. He would go downfield. It was that good. He played with the Eagles for a while. But that's why I think, and returned, I believe, as well. And Carlos Wiggins could be that guy. But I don't know why they're not giving him enough carries or looks, because they said they want to. I'm assuming a fumble recovery or something.
I would guess. That'd be interesting to find out exactly.
So, yeah, because he averaged 0 yards per carry, but he had 7 yards. He's just a guy, like, this game's over. We're not talking about it. But Wiggins himself, because what New Mexico wants to do, I'm surprised the time of possession was as low as it was. I guess they scored that quickly, but they want to run. Their offense was fast anyways. But they now want to go even faster. And they brought in all these guys to pass the ball or catch the ball, excuse me. And the most important stat I like is Jordan going 7-7 and no interceptions.
Yeah, this is a really clean game from New Mexico.
And that's all I wanted to see. And we knew they'd win. This big surprise. These other guys, I don't know. I need to look into them more. Rommel Jordan, 6 for 33. All these guys who are everybody clicked on to running back. How many running backs are on the roster? the first like six guys I clicked on are all running backs until I get to Rich Jones. So, and this again, no Taj Gibson, who's probably close to Jarrell Presley.
It's good. I mean, you think New Mexico's on the rise, and I think they're on the rise as well. I know you and Chris are really high on them. Man, they really just dominated that well on the ground game. If they're able to do that against some bigger teams, I mean, they will win the time of possession battle because they won't be able to score as quick. But I think just that consistency in the backfield, and then if Jordan, like you said, can get a couple passes in and be an actual threat to throw the ball, they're going to have a really great offensive attack.
Hey, I called it even before Arizona State lost to Texas A&M. I called it before, like in our week one preview show. I'm like, I'm giving it up. So I'm saying New Mexico's over Arizona State. So go back and listen to last week's show. And I did actually call it officially. So if that happens, send your checks to this guy over here. And is that the last game? Am I correct on that? Are we done? So good. The week one is over, which is awful, just because not that it's week one, but come on. I don't know. What would you rather have, playing these eight FCS teams at once or two a week every week for the first month?
I give it to me all at once. It's tough to swallow, but I'm done with. But, I don't think any teams play FCS the rest of the way.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to get it over all at once.
That's
hard because it kind of takes some of the excitement out of the first weekend of college football, but. We played Boise State, Washington, and a couple other games. Like, get them all over at once.
I know Boise State plays Idaho State in a couple weeks. None next week. Next week we have a conference game. San Jose Air Force will be interesting. Because you're not gonna, probably not going to join us next week. Well, I'm just saying, just because you might not.
I mean, if you don't invite me, then I'm not
gonna. Well, I mean, you're not a regular on the show, so that's what I'm guessing. I'm trying to make it sound where it's not as mean as it really was. You know what I mean? You're helping out today, which is a very appreciative. But really quick, these games, like, we got Utah State, Utah Friday on ESPN2, which, dang, I need to try to get to that game. Are you going to be at that game?
I will be at that game. I got approved today for credentials.
Good. So Liz was nice enough to give you credentials. That's good to know. Okay.
Yes.
I do stuff for stadiumjourney.com, but it's probably too close to get that game. Probably not going to get it. Plus, I couldn't get there until 8 o'clock anyways. But besides that, I'll be at Boise State BYU, so that'll be good on Saturday. That, and there are a couple of guys like our guy Brian Vance and our guy Keith, who does UNLV stuff, will be at the game. So that'll be a couple of guys hanging out there doing some stuff. There's some good games. Minnesota, Colorado State. Ooh, that's at Fort Collins. Hawaii, Ohio State.
I mean, Minnesota definitely hung with PCU for a little bit, and Colorado State looked good. So
that'll be good. Hawaii, Ohio State, whatever, that'll be a blot. Fresno, Ole Miss, there's some interest, but we'll see.
Ole Miss will handle
them. Even San Diego State Cal, I want to see what that defense could do against Sonny Dyke's offense.
I like the matchup with Goff and Cal's offense and against San Diego State's strong defense.
That's on the dang Pac-12 network. So DirecTV, either get your act line or I'm going an alternate route to watch the game. There's so many, like, these are all very good. Arizona, Nevada, Tulsa, New Mexico. Tulsa's always pretty good. Got the conference game, and even UCLA, UNLV. You want to see what Jaron Rosen could do in that first game if he'll torch UNLV. The first home game for Sanchez. There'll be probably 50-50 Bruins Rebels at that game. Man, I'm excited for next week. It's only Monday.
I like all the games. Not anymore. Why did I think Eastern Michigan at Wyoming does not look like it's being broadcast?
It might be a stream. ESPN doesn't list it, but I think it's a stream game.
It has to be a stream. I just sent something out the other day saying all the games are broadcast. I don't lie.
ESPN3 is Tulsa, New Mexico, which kind of stinks, but you can watch it.
Eastern Michigan at Wyoming is Root Sports.
Oh, regional. Okay, so for those who don't know, Root Sports, you can watch it on TV, obviously. If you live outside of the Root Sports Network, we typically be Rocky Mountain. So if you live like West Coast, like Northwest, basically if you're, I think it's Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Idaho. Maybe not even Idaho. I'm not sure. I think they're Northwest. You have to have Root Sports to get the game. But if you live outside of that area, you can just stream it for free online. So if you're in Tulsa, you could watch that game, or not, excuse me, Michigan or something, you can watch that game streaming for free. It's just if you're in the footprint of Root Sports, you can only, that's the only way you're blacked out online. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Good. Okay. You can pause for a second. Like, wait.
No,
that gets it. Anything you want to add to this or anything we should discuss further? Are we good to go?
We have a couple questions.
Oh, we do? We got questions coming in? I didn't even pull that up here. What questions do we have?
What new QBs stuck out most to you in week one? Also, your biggest surprises in general. For me, the biggest surprise in general, for me, it was Utah State struggling against Southern Utah. Southern Utah was 3-9 last year at the SDS level, and offensively, Utah State could do nothing, and you'd expect more with Chucky coming back, you know, a lot of experience up front coming back, and a new offensive coordinator. So that, for me, is the biggest surprise. Maybe UNLV hanging with NIU as well.
Not to take...
quarterback, I'd go with Lamar Jordan.
Man, you're taking everything I like here.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. My biggest surprise is UNLV playing as well as they did against NIU. That has to be... I'll go to Wyoming losing because they should not have lost. And then quarterback, Nick Stevens. I like Lamar Jordan for no errors in that game, but the way Nick Stevens played in his first start with no interceptions, 5 touchdowns, nearly perfect, 8 incompletions, that's who my quarterback played go for.
Absolutely. Other questions we have. Bigger game for the conference this weekend. Boise State at BYU or Utah State at Utah?
We'll say that for next week, but we need to talk about this now for a second. Bigger game. Oh, man. I don't know. You go ahead and answer that first. Actually, no. It's Boise. It's got to be Boise BYU.
Yeah, you got to go with Boise. I think Boise is kind of the face of the conference right now. And with how much Utah State struggled, I don't think a lose to Utah kind of hurts them in the long run. I think it's kind of expected. If you're Boise State, who beat Washington but had a lot of struggles kind of in and out of that game, I think going against BYU, a team that, you know, realistically I think Boise State should beat, I think that's the bigger game.
Also, like I said, Utah State, say if there's not that they're in a running demand, but who knows. But if they're in a running for like a New Year's Six bowl game, we saw Boise State 11-2 can still make it. So
lost to at Old Miss and again
Air Force.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think an early loss against a Power 5 opponent, a good Power 5 opponent like Utah, is that big of a deal for Utah State.
And also they're playing BYU, so that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's bigger. It's a big game because I was on a teleconference with Coach Harsin earlier today. He's like, it's a budding rivalry, not one yet, because BYU's only won once in that game.
I don't think that's right. It's the same reason, and I think I said this to you today, it's the same reason Utah State and Boise State are not a rivalry, because it's been dominated by one side. It needs to be not necessarily even, but at least 2 or 3 wins by the other side.
Well, there's that awful 7-6 game, and it's so new as well. I can see it being one. And here's the thing on the BYU side, they don't, Independence, you're playing a new team every year. There's no set you're playing this team. That's why I think it's getting close to being one, but not yet, because they're playing Boise for the next decade, essentially. They're not playing Utah every year. They're kind of playing Utah State every year. I'd put that game closer than Boise, BYU, just because they played a lot longer. But BYU's not playing Nebraska every year. They're not playing Wisconsin every year. They're not playing Hawaii or UNLV every year. They're not playing Texas every year. They're playing Boise for the next decade. So it's close. It's the closest thing they have to rivalry, unless the Utah BYU game is consistently on the schedule 8 out of 10 years, which right now it's not.
Yes, I agree.
And then one more quick question from our good guy, Luke BSU. What is BYU's Mountain West record schedule this season? I don't know. That'll
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8-0.
It depends who they play and what division they'd be in. Here's where I'll put them. If we're going to rank them after one game, which is hard to do because all the FCS games, they would probably be...
I thought it was a Boise State.
No. You're part of the underdog poll, correct?
Yes, I am.
We're going to wrap this up because we're at 50 minutes. Crap, I didn't see that. Okay, sorry, folks. We're not going to get past an hour. Who did you put number one?
I believe I put Boise State still at number one. I put Temple at number two and BYU at three.
Crap, where do they put Temple? I hope I put them in high. Dang it. I don't want to be the guy who put Temple low. Crap. I'm pretty sure I put him in there. I know. Well, here's why my point getting at. I put BYU number one and Boise number two this week.
Really?
The reason, because here's the thing. Boise did not look very, they looked reasonably good. But Washington might win six games, might win. Whereas we know Nebraska's going to be pretty good. And yet, I know.
We know Nebraska's going to be pretty good. Like, I feel like Nebraska and Washington have a lot of unknowns.
I just think Nebraska's going to be better than Washington. That's where I come down to it. And both teams are very similar in that they started off the first half were up big. BYU was up, 24-14 at halftime. Boise, 16-0. Yeah, they're up, shut out first half. So, again, but then I'm thinking about back and forth. Okay, they got a new QB, the nose tackle's out. It was a big part of the defense reason they did so well in the first half. Another linebacker. Yeah.
BYU secondary. I don't know. And I know BYU fans think I hate them. I just am not as in love with your team as you are.
And I just felt like they had to be the better team and on the road and how the Hail Mary crazy comeback to win. But I like what I saw of Tanner Mangum. He looked pretty good. But this week, we'll just know. When they play each other, we'll know. And so, as for the record, I would put them – getting back to the question – I would have to put BYU number one in the Mountain West as of right now.
Really?
Well, I'd have to. If I put them above Boise State in that poll, and that includes every team, where else would I put them?
So you think they go 8-0?
No, as of right now. I don't know what the record would be. Let's look at who they'd play. Here's who they probably would play. We know they're playing Utah State. They'd probably play Boise, which they are. They'd play CSU. They'd play Wyoming. They'd play New Mexico. It depends because it's a split schedule. We don't know who they play in the West side. For the conference, they'd probably have. I would say minimum, probably 8 wins minimum. I would say probably more though. Overall, I mean, not 8 wins overall. Like if they're gonna lose in conference, here's the teams I could see them losing to: Boise State, Colorado State. I would go as far as to maybe even New Mexico, depending where it's played.
No love for Utah State.
Come on, Southern Utah, 12-9.
Yeah, first game.
I know, but that.
I don't know. In conference, I would say somewhere between, I'd say most likely 7-1, maybe 6-2.
Yeah, I'd probably go 6 wins, probably. Maybe 5. Depends on the play, but 5 would be like the bare minimum, but not undefeated because it's difficult. And depends who they play and where, so that's why it's hard to get a good indication. But they would clearly be competing for a division and conference title. And if they're in the same division with Boise State, it'd come out to them too. And maybe CSU, but I would, 6 wins is probably where I'd say I'm comfortable saying 6 wins from what we know now.
I think I'm good. I think 7-1, 6-2 is kind of where I think they'd fall out.
Of course. All right, that's what we got for tonight. So thanks for hopping on last minute, Parker. Check him out. ParkerRob70. I'd like to do, hope to add Twitter followers because Parker did surpass me, and it was the weirdest of weirdest situations of gaining 2,000 followers in like 4 hours.
That was a very strange weekend. I did get rid of a bunch, but I stopped. It's too much effort, and it looks really good next to my name.
Oh, it doesn't. 2391. Yeah, I'm looking at your followers right now. Let's see. Oh, 50 Shades of Sexting. That's nice.
Yeah,
I'm looking at, I never went there looking. You got some legitimate ones there, like Alex Baldwin, BYU, Eagle High, Dallin Laird. Yeah. But here's the thing, eventually, with that many followers, you will get more legitimate ones on top of it. And you're not buying them either, so that's good, because some people complain about people buying followers and all that stuff.
That's the weirdest thing to me. I don't know.
Whatever, it happens. Follow him. He does football for KSL.com, so check him out for that. He does a few things for us, some recruiting, basketball, but most importantly, click on that KSL.com link to give him some pennies. Throw him some pennies that way, right? Nickels?
We got a lot of coverage of football games before, during, and after. I tweet a lot, and I engage with people that tweet at me way more than I should. So.
Yeah, and also they do podcasts there. What's it called? The KSL Corner? Campus Corner?
KSL Campus Support.
Campus Support. There you go. KSL Campus Support. SoundCloud, check that out. What, once a week right now? Twice a week?
Twice a week. We do previews and recaps.
Just like... Heck yeah, that's what we do. So check all that stuff out. Like I said, Hot Takes and Hotter Puns, that's appropriately named for your account. that's what we got time today. We'll have you on obviously later on throughout. Last second, I figured you'd be available for the most part. But yeah, thanks. Not that you're not doing anything, but we chat enough to know when you're around. So that's what we got for tonight. This is about to be 1 hour long, and I hope you enjoyed the theme song. I'll play it at the end as well. So yeah, thanks for hopping on. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. We'll have week 2 stuff up already. Right now also, if you probably already saw us on the site, but there's some shenanigans at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, a Boise State flag put up. However, there's controversy on this because every week BYU does put an opposing flag up there. However, going through, reading comments, and checking stuff, this was done before that. So I will go with that of a prankster putting the flag up early.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Even if it's not, I'm getting clicks. That's all we care about. Get that to the website. So, yeah, check out Parker's stuff.
We care about the clicks,
and it's fun. And it's hilarious. That's what me and Chris say. So if you like Star Wars talk, let us know. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio is dead to us. Like I always say every week, give us 5 stars, but tell us what you really think. So if you think we're terrible, I don't care, but 5 stars is all I want on iTunes. That's reasonable. So that's what we got today. We'll have our preview show week 2 probably Wednesday, but most likely this is a bit late holiday because I got busy. So normally we'll do Sunday night and probably Wednesday night as well, normally with me and Chris Saunders, but tonight Parker's hanging out. So everybody, thanks for listening, and have a good week, and hope your team does great next week.